Thanks for checking out our weekly podcast. Our mission at Grace is to help people worship God, connect to others, and serve both. We hope that you'll be blessed and encouraged by this week's message. For more information about Grace, you can follow us on Facebook or check out our website at experiencegrace.church.
Last Sunday, we heard an amazing message from Pastor Josh on the value and the importance of discipline in the home. If you weren't here last Sunday, I'd encourage you to go back to the podcast and be able to listen to that message, and that's at experiencegrace.church, or just look up Grace Baptist Tremont via iTunes, and you can find that. And we learned that as parents, it's our responsibility to deal with the misbehavior of our children in a biblical and a God-honoring way. If you're a parent here today, you know it's no surprise that sometimes your children misbehave, right? They say things that they shouldn't say. Sometimes they act in ways that they shouldn't act, or at least we don't want them to act. And if you have kids in your home, and yet you're a parent here today who says, you know what, my kids never misbehave, then I want you to tell us what you're feeding those kids. What is it? What's your secret? Because the rest of us need to know. But I remember personally as a teenager when, this was a long time ago, before I had any kids, before I was married, and I saw other people's kids misbehaving, acting in some of those childish ways, and I remember saying to myself, when I become a parent, I'm going to be so much better of a parent. My kids will never act that way. How many of you have been there, right? You said that to yourself, and yet when I actually became a parent and got married and all of that, you know, I threw everything that I had ever thought about parenting out the window, and I realized that very quickly, my children were actually little devils disguised as cute kids, and it didn't take long for that sin nature to kick in full throttle in our home. You know, thankfully over the years, our kids have turned out to be a bit more of angels than devils, and but don't let them fool you. They're good kids, but we appreciate the Lord's continuing to work in their lives. You know, as parents, what's important to remember is that we're never simply dealing with misbehavior that's made up of words and actions. We dealt with discipline last week, and we got some great practical advice on how to help our children in the area of disciplining them biblically. But it's important for us today as we dive into the scripture to understand that the misbehavior of our children that we discipline them for is much more than just the behavior itself. It goes much deeper and it has much deeper roots. You know, when I was a kid, my parents used to tell me to pull the weeds and they would always say, get the root, or else it's going to come back a whole lot faster, isn't it? You've got to deal with the root issue. And so we have to understand as parents, we're dealing with something far more important than just the behavior itself. It's the root of what we're going to talk about today, the root of their misbehavior, and it's the one thing that actually is controlling their words and their actions, and that's their heart. Their heart. Have you ever taught or told your child something repeatedly, maybe even disciplined them for it, and they still don't get it, and you're just wondering, why don't they just get it? Why don't they change? You know, unfortunately, there are many parents in our culture today, and sadly many Christian parents as well, who feel that their primary job as a parent is to direct and to control their child's behavior by enforcing the rules and by being a disciplinarian. What they want is they want to change their children. Now, while this is necessary to a certain extent, it's easy for parents to miss the bigger picture of what God's ultimately calling them to do, and that's the shaping and changing of a heart. You know, the Bible teaches us that the heart is the control center of a person's life. Solomon points that out in our passage today. In this small verse found in Proverbs chapter 4, we see a principle that if we can get this principle as parents, it literally can revolutionize the way that we parent by transforming the way that we think about what God has called us to do. I want us to look at that verse that Solomon addresses with his own son in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. He shares these words of wisdom when he says this, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You know, Solomon says, son, if you're going to pay attention to anything, focus on this. Make this a priority. Don't forget this, and that is to keep your heart. It says, keep it with all diligence. In other words, with everything that you have, protect your heart, because he answers the question of why we protect our heart in the latter part of that verse when he says, because it's from the heart that it's like a well from which all the other issues of life spring forth. In other words, the heart determines the behavior. Because what a person, what a child says or does is actually just simply a reflection of their heart. And so that leads us to an understanding of this morning, that your child's life will ultimately be controlled by your child's heart. A couple other verses I want you to notice as we get into this morning. Mark 7, verse 21 through 23 says this. Jesus said these words, "For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Luke chapter 6 and verse 45 says this, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh." You know, these passages bring some clarity to us today and when it comes to the task of parenting, because as parents, we've got to recognize that our children's words and behaviors are actually being shaped more by what's inside of them than by what's outside of them. Now, rightly so, as parents, we're often very concerned to be careful of the outside when it comes to our children, right? We want to make sure they dress right and they behave right and they have good manners, and all of those things are good and right. And sometimes, though, we get our focus shift to where if we're focusing more on those things, we're doing it out of wrong motives, because we want to look good in front of other people. We want to make sure that our children don't embarrass us, right? Have you ever had your children embarrass you before? It happens. And so we're very controlling, almost, if you will, to the point that we're trying to dress up the outside, but we at times forsake what's ultimately important, and that's the inside, the heart. Because all of our children's behavioral problems are first heart problems. And that, as sinners, they are going to sin naturally. And so they're sinners ultimately, like we are, who are in need of forgiveness and in need of grace that only God can give to them. Just before we get into our first couple points, we'll go ahead and I think the ushers are ready. We're going to hand those out. So before we get into those points, they're on that back table right behind the Welcome Center. And if you would just, a couple of the guys, hand those out to each of the rows, and they'll be able to follow along as we get into those points here in just a moment. I want to ask you a question. What does every parent want from their children when it comes to behavior? Here's what they want. Lasting change. Lasting change, right? We want our children to change, but the only way that comes is not through us focusing on their behavior, but through us focusing on their heart. And so that's what we're going to spend our time talking about this morning. And the topic we're going to discuss is very simply this: grace-based parenting. What does grace-based parenting look like? And a better way to term this would be heart-driven parenting. We want to have parenting that is driven not by our children's behavior, but our concern for their heart and cultivating that heart towards God and for God. You know, God's a gracious Heavenly Father to us. He's a gracious parent to us. And I believe that God's grace should shape every aspect of our parenting as well. Because let's be honest, who can better demonstrate grace to children than a parent who desperately acknowledges their need for it themselves? And if we as parents understand the grace God's given to us, we in turn can then give it to our children as God desires for us too. And so our focus today is going to be on the heart. And I want to point out some specific defining characteristics of grace-based parents. What does a grace-based parent look like? What does it mean? What does it look like to be a parent who is heart-driven rather than behavior-driven when it comes to their children? And here's the first point. You may have one of those in your hand now, and I'd encourage you to jot these points down. Point number one, grace-based parents accept their God-given role. Grace-based parents accept their God-given role. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says this, that we are to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Psalm 127 and verse 3 says that children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. You know, the way that the scriptures refer to children in these verses and more gives us a proper perspective of what our job, our role is as parents in parenting. The Bible refers to our children as an heritage, as a reward, as arrows, meaning this is something as these children have been given to us, and as a result, there are some certain ways, some proper ways that we are going to fulfill our role of directing, guiding, and nurturing these children. In essence, what he's saying is this, giving us this perspective, that as parents, we are not owners of our children, we are stewards. We are not owners, but stewards. You know, a lot of parenting problems and dysfunction can come from parents having an ownership mindset of parenting, which leads to this type of thinking, that these children are my children, and so I can raise them how I want to raise them. You ever heard talk to someone, and you're talking to them about parenting, and there's, as Pastor said last week, man, there's tons of ideas and tons of different perspectives when it comes to parenting, right? Everyone has their own perspectives, but it's important for us to understand that regardless of perspectives, what really matters is not that I'm an owner of my kids and you're an owner of your kids. We are actually stewards of God's kids, that he has given them to us, not to parent them our own way, although we can have our own preferences, but we are to make sure that our parenting lines up with God's way. And so when we understand as parents, we are not first and foremost owners of our kids, we are stewards, we will take on this perspective. Stewardship, on the other hand, is a humble recognition that these children do not belong to me. They've simply been entrusted into my care for me to steward them faithfully and their lives faithfully to help them know God, to help them love God, and to help them serve God, and ultimately to glorify God with their lives. So grace-based parenting understands that God has called us as parents as his very agents of change in the forming of a human soul. That because we as parents have experienced God's transforming grace in our lives, we're going to help open our children's eyes to that same grace that they are in need of and lead them into a personal relationship with Christ that will ultimately be the success for their lives. So, first and foremost, as grace-based parents, heart-driven parents, we are going to acknowledge our role as a God-given stewardship to raise these children. Number two, grace-based parents admit their total dependence. You know, when we understand God's grace in a personal way through salvation, it begins to change us. Salvation is a transformational experience in the life of the believer, that we were lost and we became saved. We were headed for hell, but God has given us heaven. We were living in sin, but God, through his grace, has and is transforming us to be more like Christ. And so the grace that has changed us as a natural result will begin to change the way that we parent our kids. You know, just like you and I need grace in order to be saved, just like you and I need grace for daily Christian living, we equally need grace in the process of raising our children. You know, I'm regularly becoming aware of this on a personal level. It was last year that as my wife was homeschooling our children, I enjoy writing notes to our family and leaving them in places for them to find. And I wrote a note to my then 9-year-old son, Seth. And on this note, I left it on the table before I left the house, knowing he would wake up and see it shortly thereafter, and this note read like this: Seth, hope you're having a super califragilistic day. Don't forget to spend some time with God today. Be kind to your little brother. Help mom around the house. Spend time playing outside. I love you, Dad. But that wasn't the only note that I wrote that morning. Before I left, I wrote another note, and I put this note on top of my iPad, which sits on my bedstand. And I put it there because I wanted to ensure that our children were not going to use the iPad without permission. I'm sure your kids never try to use your devices without permission, right? And so I put this note: the iPad is off limits unless you have permission from mom. because sometimes when they would get their schoolwork done and they want to just migrate to the device, and you'd find them tucked behind a corner or a doorway, and their face is lit up from the screen. And so what happened was I was very certain on that day that I had made myself very clear. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about using the iPad that day. However, when I came home for lunch, I noticed that as soon as I walked in the door, I noticed that there was someone right behind the door, and he was crouched up, and his face was glowing because he was using the iPad. And there was Seth crouched behind the door playing with the iPad in hand as if he didn't have a care in the world. And I sat down next to him on the floor, and I asked him, I said, "Son, did you get permission to use the iPad for Mom?" He looked at me with that uh-oh look, like, busted. And he said, "No." I said, "Well, didn't you read my note that I left for you this morning?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Then why are you using the iPad without permission?" I said, "You're going to have to be in trouble." I said, "Before I leave for lunch, we'll deal with this." He said, I'm sorry, Dad." And his tears began welling up in his eyes. He apologized to me. And so I'm glad that I waited until I left before disciplining him, because over the course of the time I was at the house, I went to my room and I realized that the only note he'd ever read that morning was the first one that I gave him. And the other note had been inadvertently pushed aside, and it was actually behind my bedstand because his younger little brother had actually gotten it and not even minded to try to read it. And so I came back to him and I realized that I was about to discipline my son for what I thought was an act of willful disobedience on his part that was actually much less. And I had actually almost disciplined him wrongfully. You know, when I asked Seth about that, I said, "Why didn't you just tell me?" He said, "I didn't know for sure what you were talking about, and I just figured I'd miss something that you told me to do." He said, "So I knew I was wrong." You know, as a father, I had to come to the realization that I was the one who had to admit that I was wrong to my child. And a grace-based parent will understand that there are times when they have to own it, and they have to apologize, and they have to be willing to admit that I, too, am a person in need of your grace and God's grace, because I mess up, and I need forgiveness as well. Grace-based parents are not afraid to admit when they're wrong. You know, I have the privilege of writing a parenting blog called godlyparent.com, and many of you are aware of that, about how to help you become the parent your children deserve. And I love writing that, but I'll be honest with you, I feel so very inadequate oftentimes as a parent myself. On a daily basis, as I look at my own life and my own parenting, there are times when I struggle to be the parent God wants me to be. And oftentimes, the thing that I will write about are things that come from my own experience and my own struggles. You know, I've thought many times, why in the world am I the one that's writing this? Because how many of you have ever felt inadequate as a parent? Ever felt like a failure? We've all been there. You know, there's so many times that I don't know what to do in my own family. There's so many times that I mess up and I don't get things right. So many times that I fall short in the being the parent that I know God wants me to be. And yes, I know the rights and the wrongs of parenting, as do you, but yet we still struggle to actually be the parents God wants us to be. We struggle to be consistent in doing the things we know we ought to do. And I struggle with, in my own family, sometimes I get frustrated, I get irritated, I get impatient, I get tired. Sometimes I hurt my family's feelings. Sometimes I'm too harsh. Sometimes I'm too lenient. Sometimes I don't always enforce consistency like I know I ought to. Sometimes I struggle in many, many ways. And yet, when I get to that point that I realize that I'm not the parent I want to be, I come to this realization that I can't be successful at this whole parenting thing on my own. And when I get to that point that I realize that, that's when I actually begin to succeed. And the reason for it is this, because in those times when I realize I can't be the parent my kids need me to be, I actually become a better parent than what I just was, because it forces me to rely upon God's grace in my daily parenting. You know, grace-based parents understand that I am my best self as a parent when I simply admit that I don't have it all together. I don't always know what to do. I need the constant help and grace of God in my daily life to be a godly parent as God's called me to be. Grace-based parents admit their total dependence upon God's help. Number three, I want us to notice that grace-based parents understand that they are raising fools. This sounds like a harsh point, and yet the reality of it is so important for us to grasp. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15, the Bible says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Something that parents face nearly every day is the foolishness of their children. It could be a child who refuses to eat their vegetables. It could be a son who thinks that disrespecting his mom is really not that big of a deal. It could be a daughter who obsesses over her appearance. It could be a toddler who refuses to sleep in their own bed. It could be a child who insists on getting their own way and they throw a temper tantrum. You know, it could be siblings who fight and argue with one another. It could be a teenager who could care less about their grades or their future or their parents' rules. And yet, in order for us as parents to be successful when it comes to grace-based parenting, we've got to recognize that all of those things are in line with what the Bible says that we must come to grips with, and that is this: the foolishness in our child's heart. Foolishness, the Bible says, is, what's the next word? It is bound in the heart of a child. You know, in my garage, I have a couple things hanging up, and one of them that I grabbed was this. How many of you have one of these hanging up in your garage? Now, for me personally, when I look at this and it's hanging in my garage like this, I get great satisfaction from seeing this because I'm a neat freak, and I like that it's very symmetrical, and I like that it's easy for me to use and to be able to just take apart when I need it. You know, my daughter has gotten into some of these videos that are satisfying, like people cutting into cake and all these other things. This is satisfying when I see. How many of you are satisfied when you see that? Isn't that amazing? How many of you wish your kids were like this? Wouldn't that be amazing? Everything was perfect, in order. They behaved, they were just as you wanted them to be. Well, let's admit, that's not the truth, is it? How many of you may have one of these in your garage? You know, I too find that this quickly becomes this when I ask my son to go and vacuum out the cars. And I go back and he's like, "I got it done, Dad." Man, way to go, son. I walk out of the garage. Way to go, son. You know, this bound, wound, and quite disorderly electric cord. How many of you have ever cussed at an electric cord before? Or felt like you wanted to, right? You know, having to take this apart and rewind it, or having to even just get it apart to use it, can be frustrating, can't it? And it can take a lot of patience that sometimes we don't want to have. It can take some a mindset of not getting too irritated, but it requires persistence. It requires some inconvenience, doesn't it? To have to take what's bound and unwind it. But look at what the Bible says is the answer to a child's foolishness in our verse. It says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Once we understand as parents that we are parenting fools, and that fools cannot escape their own foolishness on their own, we come to this realization that fools need our help. They need our correction and discipline. Fools need to be rescued from themselves. Fools need their hearts to change before they will change, because their foolishness is bound in their what? Their heart. In their heart. One of the biggest parenting dangers can be this: that some parents never come to this important realization where they are willing to admit that at the heart of the problem is a problem of the heart. Many parents have this mindset that my kids are just good kids. They don't mean anything by their misbehavior. They're just being kids. Boys will be boys, right? Girls will be girls. Or I can trust my teenager because they would never do that. May I tell you as parents that we cannot take that approach to our parenting. And so many parents will dismiss their child's sin by petting it and pandering to it rather than dealing with it. And a very dangerous parenting approach is that they are allowing their child's sinful and foolish heart to be in control. And we must admit as parents that we are raising fools. God is the one who said that. And we as parents have the responsibility to drive that foolishness from them. How many of you have heard the phrase, spare the rod, spoil the child, right? But how many of you would give testimony today that you could probably stand and give us examples because you know someone who never had the foolishness of their hearts driven from them? Or changed. And as a result, they are now adults who have carried with them into their adult years that foolishness, and it has affected every area of their lives. Listen, there are jail cells and prison cells that are filled with people who grew up who the fool was never driven out of the heart of the child. Why did God give them parents? To drive the foolishness out of the child. And if you want to know some practical ways to do that, go back and listen to last week's message that Pastor preached. You know, one of our primary jobs as parents is to help rescue our children from their own foolish hearts. And one of the best ways for us to remember this is to simply remember the foolishness of our own heart. We used to be where they were. We know what it was like to be their age. And guess what? We would say, man, I wouldn't have trusted me at that age. Don't trust them either. Count on it. Children will act foolishly because children are fools at heart. And as a result, as parents, we are to recognize as grace-based parents that we are parenting fools. Number four, recognize the power of shaping influences. Grace-based parents recognize the power of shaping influences. Your child and the person they become will ultimately be the product of two things: their life experiences and how they choose to respond to them. Every child is shaped by their surroundings and their influences, and nothing shapes a child more than family. Nothing shapes a child more than family. This would include the structure of family life, the family values, what's stressed or prioritized. This would include how families resolve conflict, whether or not they actually resolve conflict or just fight over conflict and disagreements, whether or not they assume the best of one another or the worst of one another. Family failures. How do families respond when people in the home make mistakes? Do they respond with grace or do they respond with shaming? All of these things are shaping influences that are shaping the heart of a child into the person that they become. Our children are learning how to live their life by watching how we live ours. And by interacting with these shaping influences that are surrounding them in their life. Because our children are simply mirrors of us. Remember Deuteronomy chapter 6, we won't take the time to go there, but the command was that parents are to, while they're standing in the way, sitting, while they're lying down, it says we are to be being an influence upon our children in everyday life. And it's not so much the emphasis on us teaching our children with our words as much as us living our faith with our life and it being what our children learn and become. You know, Mom, our attitude, negative or sweet spirit attitude of a mom is going to be reflected in their kids. Dad, your priority of work over family or your priority of family and the things of God is going to ultimately be affected in the future choices of your children. Because as we've heard before, it's so very true, what parents allow in moderation, children will do in excess. Let me read you a quote from a book called Parenting by Paul David Tripp. And the good news for parents today is each week we've been giving away a special gift, and today we're going to put this book into your hands when you leave today if you're a parent of children in the home. I'll tell you more about that at the end of the message. But in this book, he writes this quote. He said, here's what God does in all of our lives. He uses things like our marriages and our parenting to expose our hearts to us. He used parenting to expose thoughts, attitudes, and desires in my heart that I had previously denied were there. Here's the humbling conclusion that God and grace led me to. I am more like my children than unlike them, and so are you. The reality is that there are few struggles in the lives of my children that aren't in my own life as well. Materialism, relationships, wanting my own way, attraction to the world, subtle idolatries. This admission transformed my parenting. Instead of approaching them with self-righteous outrage, I moved towards them as a sinner in need of grace, needing to confront a sinner in need of grace. God's plan is to make his invisible grace visible to children by sending parents of grace to give grace to children who need grace. And parents who know they need grace tend to want to give grace to children who are just like them. That's powerful. There is no greater shaping influence in your children's lives than you. And if you are failing to live with grace, so will they. Most likely, if you're not growing and changing in your relationship with God, it's very hard for a parent to expect their children to be. But it's important for us to remember that our children and ourselves are not simply helpless victims to our circumstances or the way in which we were raised. Some parents will mistakenly think that if I provide the perfect environment, I can create the perfect child. And I can make my children to live in this bubble that I am surrounding them with all the right influences. And so as a result, they will turn out to be everything I want them to be. But may I tell you, there is no guarantee of some type of manufactured cookie cutout child. Because our children, as we said, are sinners who, as human beings with a sin nature, have a will. They have a heart. They have a choice. Listen, some of the most godly parents I know have still raised rebels. Why is that? Well, because remember what Proverbs 4:23 says, that it's out of the heart that all of the issues of life flow from. So it's not just the shaping influences of your child's life that will determine the person they become. It's also the condition of their heart that determines how they respond to those influences, including your parenting. So notice with me as we get to number 5 that this is so important. Grace-based parents prioritize changing the heart, not just the behavior. They prioritize changing the heart. As grace-based, heart-driven parents, it's important for us to clarify our purpose, and our purpose is this. We are not striving to raise rule followers, but Christ followers. And there is a very big difference. You know, many of you may have been raised in a Christian home or within the church, and the previous generation often had the emphasis on the wrong thing. The emphasis was on making sure that our kids were rule followers. Is it important for our kids to follow rules? Yes. But is that what's most important? No. Ultimately, we are helping them with the rules to see that they cannot keep the rules. They need Christ, and they need him and a personal relationship with him to be able to successfully live the Christian life. You know, I hope that for me personally, my children grow up knowing that we love God more than we love rules, and that because we love God first and foremost, following his rules will be the natural outflow of our hearts to him. I would encourage you as parents to create a culture in your home where matters of the heart are emphasized over conformity to the rules. Pay more attention to the direction of your child's heart than you do to their compliance to your rules. Because, listen, Christianity is so much more than just a checklist of what we do. Listen, our kids can do everything we want them to do, but yet Christianity is about the heart motives behind why we do it. Because our heart has been changed. You know, rules are important for the protection and well-being of our children. But here's the difference. Rules do not have the power or the ability to deliver our children from their own foolishness. The only thing that can do that is a changed heart. And so as we come to those moments in our parenting when we have to discipline, when we have to give correction, it's important to remember that with every time we have to deal with our child's behavior, it's an opportunity to talk to them about the condition of their heart. and the need for God's grace. Listen, when we discipline our children, and as hard as it is and as difficult as a parent it is, where we say, man, this hurts you, or hurts me more than it hurts you, and our kids never understand that, right? And yet we know in our hearts that it's so hard. But what's important for us to remember is in those times of parenting where we discipline our children, that we teach them that at the heart of their misbehavior is not that they have hurt us or hurt another person or just not kept the rules. The heart of the issue is that they have hurt God. They have disobeyed God. And because they have ultimately hurt God's heart, it is the God's grace that they need for forgiveness. It is God's grace that they need for heart change. And so we pray with our children and we allow them to talk to God and say, God, help me with this. God, help me to change. Help me to do right. You know what? We have those moments of love and bonding, and we hug, and you know, we try to show them the same love that we want them to know God gives them when they sin. That yes, they've been disciplined and they've been corrected because they were wrong, and yet God loves them and we love them, and that unconditional love will not change based on their behavior. You know, as parents, we can often easily get sidetracked with focusing on behavior. But we have to remember that the end goal of our parenting is not well-behaved children, but to achieve the ultimate goal of changed hearts. We don't need more good kids in our churches today. We need more godly kids. And too many Christian parents are satisfied with raising good moral kids, but that's not why God gave us our children in the first place. God gave us these children to point them to Him, to be used for His kingdom, and ultimately to accomplish His eternal work. And that will not likely happen in our homes without a focus on changing the heart. I love what Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26 says. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you. This verse is directed specifically to Israel in the Old Testament, and yet it's a picture prophetically of pointing to Jesus who would one day come. And what was the primary reason why Jesus came? What was His purpose? To save us from ourselves. To save us from our own foolish ways by giving us what we desperately need. And that is a new heart. A new heart. Not a perfect heart, but a new, changed, and continually changing heart. Notice the word picture that He presents us with in this verse, between a stone and flesh. Now, I have a stone that sits in front of our yard that I brought with me today. And our youngest son, Shane, painted this, I believe, a year or so ago. And, you know, this stone kind of is in the shape of a heart. And yet, if I were to take this stone and I were to squeeze this stone, what's going to happen to the stone? Nothing. What if I squeeze it harder and I really try with all of my might to change this stone? What's going to happen to this stone? Nothing. Because the stone is hard. It is resistant to change. And because it is, it will not change no matter how hard I press it or try to make it conform. And yet this is exactly what many parents are trying to do. They are trying with all of their might to shape hard hearts and change hard-hearted children who are foolish at heart. On the other hand, though, if you take the word flesh that He refers to in that verse, He says God's going to take a heart of stone and He's going to give you a heart of flesh. Moldable. Movable. You know, it's capable of change. One of the problems in parenting today is that many parents focus on trying to make hard-hearted children to look good on the outside without digging deeper to deal with the real issue of heart change. All we're doing as parents by trying to address behavior but not addressing the heart is we're painting rocks. Jesus addressed this in the Gospels when He talked to the Pharisees, who, remember, the Pharisees were hypocritical and they followed all the rules. But what was the problem with the Pharisees? It was the heart. They didn't believe in Christ. They had never experienced the grace that God was trying to offer them through Jesus Christ. And may I tell you that the same is true of our children, that as parents, we can raise little Pharisees if we're not careful. Jesus said of the Pharisees, He said, they are like whited sepulchers, painted sepulchers, They look good on the outside. They're painted nice and clean, but on the inside, they're full of nothing but dead men's rotting bones. And yet, as parents, if we only focus on the heart, or on the change that we want through behavior and not focus on the heart, listen, we can raise good little Pharisees who are rule followers, but who one day grow up to be nothing more than that, and oftentimes even forsaking that as well. I love what Earl Knowles said last week in the parenting video. If you were here, you heard him say this quote. When he said this, quote, "One of the most important things is while your children are growing up, do everything you can to help them develop their own convictions. Don't force them to live your convictions, because when they grow up and leave the house, they won't have yours. They won't have any." End quote. Now, I believe at the heart of what he was trying to say was this: you can force your kids to follow your rules, but you cannot force your kids to follow your faith. That can only happen through heart change. Jesus came so that our hearts would be constantly and consistently changing by his grace. That starts at salvation, and then sanctification takes place from there as we're growing more like Christ. And as we begin being rescued from our own foolishness and sin, transformed by the delivering grace of God, we're able to help our children do that as well. Listen, God's grace is the only answer to changing our foolish hearts. Notice lastly with me that grace-based parents focus on the gospel. They focus on the gospel. See, the true answer to heart change is found in the power of the gospel. Yet, what do you think is the number one tool that many parents are using over and over and over again, believing it has the power to change their child? You know what it is? Many parents are using the rules, or as we would call it scripturally, the law. They're trying to use the law to change their children, which will never happen. And as a result, they're using the law as some type of measuring stick to see how well their children are doing at becoming what they want them to become. And so as long as their kids are following the rules and their kids are good kids and they're not getting in trouble at school and they're well behaved, we think that we're being successful as parents. And all the while, if we're not careful, we have completely missed the point. The point being that their behavior is not the only thing or the primary thing that matters. Because while there may be outward conformity, that is not a guarantee of inward change. Remember, the greatest danger in our children's lives is not outside of them, it's inside of them. It's their heart. How many kids have been raised in church and in the faith and have even seemed to be good kids who loved God but then left the faith once they left the house? Too many to count. Why? Could it be because the reason is far too many well-meaning parents have been trusting the law to do something that only grace and the gospel has the power to accomplish? Now, don't get me wrong. Children need rules, but we can't ask the rules to produce heart change. Only grace can do that. In fact, one of the very purposes of the law is to show us that we need grace. Isn't that what the Bible says? Paul said, "I had not known the law," in Romans 7:7, "except it had been, or no, had not known I needed God's grace, except the law had showed me that I was a sinner." He said in Galatians 3:24, the law was my schoolmaster to bring me to Christ. See, if the rules were enough, then we wouldn't need Jesus. We wouldn't need grace. We wouldn't need the death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus wouldn't have had to die. If the rules were enough, that would solve the great human problem of sin, wouldn't it? But because the rules are not enough, they have no ability to change your child's heart or create new lasting change that's vital to our success long term as parents. So what's the answer today? The answer is this. It's very simple. It's the gospel. The gospel. Your children ultimately need to be rescued from the power of sin's grip in their life. Your children need a new heart that only God can give them. Your children need to experience the grace of God through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and they need your children have the same need that is the same human need of every person, and that is rescue from the power of sin through the grace of the gospel. Pastor said it last week, and I'll say it again, that the greatest thing you can ever do as a parent is to lead your children to a personal faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the greatest thing you can ever do. How do you do that? Well, very quickly and practically, listen, first and foremost, tell them your story. you have a story of how you came to faith in Christ, how God's grace changed your heart, you can go back to that moment that you know God's grace changed you from being a hell-bound sinner to being a grace-saved child of God. Tell them your story. Let me ask you, have you ever told your children your story of how God changed your life? That's your challenge this week. Go home, sit down with your children, and tell them your story of how you became a Christian, a child of God. It's powerful. You know, talk to them about the gospel regularly. Ask questions, answer questions. Talk to them about the ongoing work and life change that God is doing in your own life. Make the gospel look good for your kids through your life and example. You know, as grace-based parents, the gospel should be the central focal point of our parenting, realizing that God wants to change your child from the inside out. It's not something that you or parenting can ever do in and of itself, because it is the gospel as the only thing that has the power to change the heart of your child. You know, we've covered a lot of different content this morning of what it means to be a grace-based parent, and it may seem a little bit overwhelming as we've talked about a lot of things, but let me encourage you to take just one or two of these six things that we've talked about and focus on them this week, allowing God to first change you so that you in turn can be an agent of heart change in the life of your child by being a grace-based, heart-driven parent. Would you pray with me?
Thank you again for joining us for today's podcast. If you have any questions about today's message or would just like more information about Grace, you can email us at info@experiencegrace.church. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and to subscribe to our channel for more messages just like this one.